Click. Rap City, let's go. The Wilson Rush Podcast. With your host, Wilson Rush. Also with C-Lib, Far Wilson, and C-Rush. What up, Detroit? 7 miles. Red City, your world. DJ Clips. We the best. The Chemist Music Crew. The Rush Wilson Podcast starts now.
Yes, sir. Wilson Rush Podcast at it again. Got the usual suspects here. C Rush, how you doing, man?
Hey man, I'm doing pretty good. Still trying to come back off this bad weekend with the Lions and Tigers losing, man. But I'm all right.
Yes, it was bad. It was like a death at a funeral, man. After the Bo Sox took us out. I agree. That was a bad weekend, man. It really was. T Will, man, what it do?
Not much, man. Just happy to be back on the airways, man. Seems like it's been a minute.
Yeah. It's definitely been a while. Wilson Rush Podcast been at a little sabbatical, man. Coach is getting busy gearing up for seasons, but we always got to make time for the Wilson Rush Podcast. We got a good one for you today. We're going to talk a little NBA because, it's about to get started up again. Doc Rivers, new Clippers coach, he says he's covering up those banners, at those Laker banners at his games. He doesn't want to see that when he's coaching. So we'll talk about that. And we also want to know what the panel, how they feel about LeBron saying those Celtic guys that went to the Nets, calling them hypocrites for the way that they attacked Ray Allen last year for joining Miami Heat. So we'll give our take on that. And obviously, we'll talk about our Lions, recap the game, that heartbreaking loss, and preview Tony Romo coming to town. But first, T. Will, we'll go to you, and let's talk about Michigan. I want to take things back a little bit. We also didn't do a show last week, and we lost that game at Penn State. I told you guys I was nervous about how can we win on the Big Ten in the road. I personally don't think we can. But T. Will, we got it done this week. Defense didn't exist. Devin Gardner was special. Do you think that loss is put behind us, or do you think that is going to linger when we play another good team, T. Will?
Well, it's almost like it has to linger, fine, because that devastating loss down at Penn State on the road, that was a tough one to drop, but, again, that's a tough place to play, one of the toughest places to play in college football. And then you come back to the Big House, and you have Indiana who brings that tempo, and they specialize in that tempo. And you know what? That Michigan defense, we just couldn't keep up. Indiana put up they just put up – way too many points, fine. I mean, 47 points against the Michigan defense, that's just way too much. But at the end of the day, if you would have asked Indiana, if they put up 47 points against Michigan, would they take that? And they would say yes, they would have. There's no one out here who thought that we'd see Michigan put up 63 points, and we're not in the Rich Rod era. We're in the Brady Hoke era, where it's get up under center, grind this thing out. But, hey, I'm going to tell you what the OC did. He put that thing in Devin's hands, and we seen something special. We seen some things that we've never seen at Michigan before. Devin, he set the school record for 584 yards of total offense, and he threw the ball for 503 yards, setting a single game mark at Michigan. And Jeremy Gallen, which to me is having a great and spectacular season, guys. I mean, 14 catches for 369 yards. I haven't seen that anywhere but on a video game. So that has to be that record. I know what it is for the Big Ten, yardage-wise. And just total team-wise, I'm really worried about our offensive line. We're doing a lot of shuffling up front. Taylor Lewan, he went down last week. And, it's a lot of things going on with that front line. Toussaint's been pretty consistent. Last week, he was basically shut down. But this week, he responded with a pretty good game. And like I said, guys, Jeremy Gallen, I plan on seeing him, on the next level. I plan on seeing him. I want to see him be, that kind of Wes Welker guy in the slot because he's a small guy, but he has a phenomenal football mind. And Devin Gardner put on a spectacular performance. But offensively, defensively, we have to do something else. We were very vanilla, and I know it's very tough when you're playing against a team that's in high tempo like that. But I think we had to put something else into that game plan. We had to do more stunts, more twists. We were very vanilla out there, and we stayed in our base defense, and Indiana ate that thing up.
Yeah, T. Will, 369 yards is tough, even cutting the video game on Heisman. I mean, it's tough to still do, but. But, T, well, I want to talk about, like you said, that offensive line and that defensive line. As you know, these new schemes come out, the spread and all this read option, all this new stuff comes out. But, T, well, we all know this. If you can't win the battle up front, you're going to have a long day. So talk about how do we improve that at this point in the season? Because my opinion, like I said, I'm just a fan when I'm watching. I don't think it can get better. I think we got to put new players in those spots. But, T-Will, can the line really get better towards the end of the year?
Absolutely, fine. I mean, you have to – the offensive line continues to grow, grow and develop, you know. So, and like you said, fine, if you can't run the rock, it's going to be a long day. And that's exactly what happened when we were down at Penn State last week. The running game was zero. There was no running game, you know. So the Michigan offense struggled. You know, when you're one-dimensional on the road in a hostile environment, that's tough for anyone. So we didn't have a run game. We struggled there. We came back home. We had, you know, Toussaint had a pretty good day. And our offense flourished. You know, when you're not one-dimensional, I mean, of course, when you have that balance, you're going to be better. But, I mean, we were just non-existent in Penn State. And with the offensive line, fine, yes, they'll grow. They'll get better. They're inexperienced. Okay, outside of Taylor Lewan and one other guy on that line, these guys are like redshirt freshmen and things like that. They're extremely young. So, yes, they need this game experience, fine, to help them down the road, you know, towards the end of the season and going into next season.
Now, see, Rush, I want to throw this to you. Now, T talked about Indiana scoring 47. I said before the game, and you and I talked privately about this, and I said Indiana's going to score 50 tonight. The question is can we score 51? And my reasoning was simple. Regardless of how you feel about Sparty and that team, they got a heck of a defense. And Indiana put up 28 points on them. But Sparty scored 42, I believe it was. So, obviously, it was very simple. Indiana had no defense, but they're good enough to score 28 points on MSU. Our defense is nowhere near that, C-Rush. So it's not shocking to me that they almost dropped 50 on us.
No, it's not shocking at all. Like you said, we talked. We knew that we're going to have to put up some points. So I believe that's why Al Borges did open the playbook up a little bit, you know. It's hard to, even though we want to grind it out wins and play Big Ten football, quote unquote, you can't do that against a team who is taking 10 seconds in between plays, you know. They're running on and off, on and off, on and off. And we're not, other than Blake Countess, they were killing our secondary, you know. Every time they threw the ball away from him, it was like a touchdown, you know. I went in the store, I come out, it's another touchdown for them. So it was going to be hard, it was going to be difficult, and whoever got that lucky turnover, they won. So we gave them a lucky turnover, and we got one right back. So it was astonishing to look at, to say, wow, this is how our defense is. You know, I don't expect us to have Michigan State defense or upper echelon defense, but I expect us to be respectable. And getting this many points dropped on you, that's not respectable. I understand we're young in the back end. It's people pieces hurt, but you know what? You still have to be productive, you know. And with that, we were productive enough to win, but it was a little scary to me.
Now, see, Rush, I mean, I know this is a tough question to ask, but do you say, "Phew, I'm glad we got a couple Rich Rod players left on offense"? Because if we would have had a team that's ground and pound and they can only run the ball or only throw the tight ends on five and outs, there's no way we win this game. So watching this game, see, Rush, do you say, "Well, I'm glad we had a couple Rich Rod guys out there on offense"?
Yeah, but at the same time, I think that the players that we have with Devin, Fitz-Toussaint, Funchess, they can play that way, but they can play the other. They can play any style of offense. What I'm trying to say is that we're lucky that we do have that athleticism at those spots, that we can open it up a little bit, you know. Eventually we are going to be that ground and pound team with a little, little flair, but I am thankful for Rich Rod and his and that speed that he established up here. You know, having Devin play receiver the past 2 years, but we got, I don't want to say we got lucky that we have the skill guys, but we got something.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I mean, devil's advocate, you can always say, well, some of Rich Rod players on defense. So I get that. But, man, I'm watching this game, and I'm like, man, I mean, I don't know if we score 63 points without his guys out there. But T-Will, I just want you to be honest. I'm going to throw this to both you guys. But, T-Will, I go to you. Now, I think a lot of people ignore what took place at UConn. I think a lot of people ignore that. And my thing is this, very simple. We almost lost that game. We should have lost that game. They were just that bad. And I look at that game, T, and I say, how can we play in a Big Ten and win a road game? Like, I'm just being honest. The only way that we win next week against MSU, in my opinion, is because we have a bye week and an extra week to prepare. But when we go to Iowa, I don't see us getting a win. I believe we go to Northwestern. There's absolutely no way, and they're playing awful right now. But, T, Will, do you have any confidence that these guys can get it done on the road, or are you just like me and you just say, I don't think we can get it done?
I'm definitely sliding to your side of this equation, Fine, because the more and more confidence I had in us getting it done on the road, there's just no evidence or proof. You know, the close call in UConn, if that's any other team in the country, Fine, we lose on the road. You know, so down in Penn State, you know, it was just a horrible showing. You know, it was a horrible showing for our team. And we did make some plays late in that game, but consistently throughout that game, it was not a really good game for us. You know, I mean, we came home. We didn't play well at home. You know, I mean, offensively, we exploded and made some plays. Don't get me wrong. It was a record-setting day. But a 47-60-something score, that's not a Michigan football game right there. That's a Michigan basketball game.
Exactly.
So I'm pretty much, yes, I'm a little nervous, Fine, yes, to say the least. I am nervous, especially going on the road. Because you talk about Iowa, who's playing really good football right now. You know, they took Ohio State to the limit. You know, Northwestern, who really isn't playing really good right now, but I'll tell you what, they have a unique style of playing football where if you're not prepared for them, you know, they can make a couple plays and they get right back on track. So, I am concerned, not just about the away games, Fine, but the home games that are left on our schedule.
Yeah, I mean, I'm concerned all around. Don't get me wrong, but I'm like, dude, UConn plays at a glorified high school stadium and it was too much of an atmosphere for us. So, and then, you know, you go to, Nittany Lion place and, you know, you play Penn State. It's like, man, I mean, the spread was -1.5, basically a pick 'em for a reason. But see, Rush, the same thing I asked you. And like, I make this clear with everyone. Yes, I know football. Yes, I do. But when it comes to football, I am 100% fan and I overreact sometimes. I can't say sometimes. I overreact all the time. I just don't think this team can win a road game. See, Rush, what you think about it?
Well, you know, we got to right the ship now. You know, we got to take it one game at a time. Do I believe we can win? Yes, I believe with confidence that we can go to Northwestern, Iowa, and also up there in East Lansing and win, because it's been proven that we can score. Now, the thing is, playing in those environments, are we going to have the capability of getting a crucial third and long stop when we need it? Are we going to be able to control the run that Michigan State's going to do? You know, I really do believe that we have the pieces. Now it's going to be, we got to grow up quick. You know, I know they're young, but you got to grow up eventually. You know, we've had the Big Ten playing down in Happy Valley, and now we got to go to other hostile environments. That's the thing. You know, we're going to play probably a night game at Northwestern, a 3:30 game at Michigan State. So it's going to be pressure-packed situations that we are getting ourselves into. So the good thing about that is we got another week to prepare. So hopefully we can make the adjustments, people can get healthy, and let's come out there and have a good total game, not just offensively. We know what we can do offensively. Let's play a good game. I don't care where we're playing at. Let's have a good game all around on the road.
T-Will, I think I asked this question to C-Rush last time, so I want you to ask this question now before we move on quickly here. I still don't know this. What the heck happened to Michigan after week two that we just look like a total different team, T-Wheel?
I can't put my finger on it, Fine. I really can't. I don't know if it was, you know, the Notre Dame win. I don't know. Maybe we need to lose to Notre Dame early to be humbled and to move on. I don't know, Fine. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. But one thing I can say is that UConn game, Fine, they were talking about, you know, Michigan didn't want to go down there unless that game was going to be played in Foxborough Stadium with a New England Patriots play. They wanted a bigger venue. So let's think about if that game was played there in a more hostile environment where they may have, you know, sold more tickets and filled up a bigger stadium. It may have been a different outcome then, Fine, if they didn't play in that glorified high school arena.
Yeah, see, I don't know, man. I'm just this bothers me. I mean, it really does, because I'm like both of you guys. I think we all can agree on this. We don't know what happened. We don't know what's going on. But this got to get fixed. And I really don't want to lose to Sparty. I cannot take that for 300 days again. I just cannot take losing to them. So I really hope we figure this thing out. Obviously, we'll dig deeper into that next week on the MSU-Michigan game week. Well, all right, C. Rush, let's go back to you. Let's talk about the Lions. Defense played well. Offense played well. And a punter decides to look like an eighth grade punter and blow the game at the end. So what did you see in that game, C. Rush?
I believe that punter should be looking for a new line of work today. You know, you get paid to do one thing right, and you can't do it right. But other than that, we played well. We didn't go up against a bad team. We went up against a team who I believe has the tools to make a deep run in the playoffs. Calvin was Calvin when he's healthy, and he showed why he's arguably the best receiver and maybe best player in football. You know, when you got a weapon like that, you can just say, hey, let's play 500, and I throw it up, and he's going to catch it. So that's what Matt Stafford did. We got to address that issue of getting after week. He's getting torched by Brandon Marshall, AJ Green. You know, we got James Jones the week before, you know, so we gotta strip that back end. But the defense played well. It was a good game all around, you know. Yeah, it was some stuff that we could have done in the fourth quarter, wasting time, passing the ball third down, Matt Stafford, instead of throwing, he could have just tucked it and killed the clock a little bit more. But, you know, when you're playing a good team, a team that's been in the playoffs before, you got to beat them. You know, it's the reason why Cincinnati's been in the playoffs two out of the last 3 years. You know, they're a playoff team. You know, we got to get on that level. We got to know how to win games. That's what elite teams do. They win games that they're supposed to win, you know, and we just came up short.
Yeah, T. Well, I'll throw this one to you because, I mean, we're all coaches here, T. Will, and we don't like to say, hey, one play was the difference in this game. But I got to agree with C. Rush with these kickers and punters, T. They got one job and one job only. So there's no even guarantee if it goes to overtime that we win the game. We're not even saying that. But you go out there and do that. I mean, what you think about this game, T. Will?
Well, I think we played a good enough game to win, you know, offensively and defensively. Yes, we didn't play the perfect game on offense or on defense, but we played well enough to beat this team. And this Cincinnati Bengal team isn't just your ordinary Cincinnati Bengal team that's going to come in and go 6-10, 7-9. This is a playoff team that we're talking about when we talk about these Bengals here. So yes, when you talk about these kickers and punters and making these plays down the stretch and blowing games. As a coach, you will have to understand that it never really comes down to one player, you know, because it was a collective effort during the game to put us in this situation. You know, whether we did some things right, whether we did some things wrong, you know, we did it as a team. But I'm sorry, on a professional level, when you're talking kickers and punters and you're shanking stuff down the stretch, shanking punts down the stretch, you're missing field goals to tie or win games. As a coach or general manager, I am not really connecting myself with kickers and punters because those guys would be they will be expendable. You know, I'm sorry. When we come down to it and you shank that punt and they come down and win, guess what? By Monday at lunchtime, there'll be someone in getting ready to take your spot because you'll be gone. It's just that simple. So at the professional level, you're a professional for a reason. And I never like to go for anyone's job. You know, I never want to see anyone get their job taken. But in that situation, I think I would have had to, you know, let him go and move forward.
Yeah, T, I mean, because you bring up a good point. I mean, football season seems like it comes, it takes a long time for it to come, and it's gone quickly. In NFL, you simply play 16 games. Very simple, 16 games. You can't allow a game like that to get away from you. It's very important. So, but T-Will, okay, this game is over. So we're going to do what the Lions should do. That one got away. We got to concentrate on Romo and the boys coming to town, T-Will. So, is this game at home or do we go to Dallas, T-Will? I'm not sure.
I'm not 100% sure, fine.
It's in Detroit.
Okay.
It's in Detroit? Okay.
Okay, so T-Will, Romo is coming to town. Now, I'm just going to be honest, and I want to know if you share my concern. It's because we know our secondary isn't very good. And when Tony Romo plays a secondary that's not good, he has one of those games where he throws for 300, 400 yards. And it's capable of happening against the Lions. So what do you look for in this matchup, another high-scoring game, and hopefully, you know, we got the ball at the end and we can score last, or do you expect to see more defense? What do you expect to see in this game, T-Will?
Well, the one thing we have going for us, fine, is that we're playing at Ford Field. So we're playing at home. And one thing I could say about the Lions at home, in particular that defense, is no quarterback is really safe. You know, and Tony Romo has a reputation of if you're going to hit him a couple times, it doesn't have to always be sacked, but if you're going to get some good hits on him and get some sacks and make him throw the ball before he really wants to, Tony Romo has shown over the years that he'll make those stupid decisions and he'll throw it to us. You know, he'll make those decisions. He'll throw some bad balls. He'll throw it to our defense, and realistically, that's when the Tony Romo, that's when he crumbles. So I think no quarterback is really safe in Detroit. So I'm really leaning on that in our front seven. And like you said, fine, yes, our secondary may be our weak point, and Tony Romo does really well against secondaries that's vulnerable, but I think our front seven will be the difference in this game and actually force Tony Romo to make some turnovers.
Now, T-Will, I we all know, and everybody listening know how you feel about Tony Romo, that you just don't like him. But T-Will, I just want to be honest here for a second. You know, do you think that I don't want to have a hangover from the last game, and I don't know if Detroit is mentally tough enough to do that because Cowboys have some threats, T-Will. So do you think that, openly and honestly, do you think that we'll win this game at Ford Field on Sunday?
Yes, I do think we'll win this game at Ford Field, fine, and it's because of our defense, and I really do. I think our offense will be able to put up points, and I'll give the Dallas Cowboys some credit. You know, since they switched to that 4-3 defense, guys, that defense has really been good this year. You know, they have guys playing in different spots, and they've really been more productive. You know, but at the same time, you know, this Lions offense is really producing, and we have some studs out there, too, that can go get this rock and that can break it at any given time, you know, for six. So I think the difference in this game will be our front seven. Yeah, if they go hit Tony Romo a few times and force him to make some bad decisions, it'll be a great day for the Lions. If we cannot get to Tony Romo, it'll be a great day for Romo. He'll throw for a few hundred yards, and I'll have a conniption fit over here.
Well, one good thing that we can say, if the game is close, he'll throw an interception. So we don't have to worry about that. If the game
I agree.
That's what I'm saying. So if the game is close, we could just say, okay, here comes our pick six, or here comes our huge interception. But see, Rush, I mean, you know, what do you expect to see in this game, man?
I expect us to come out here and prove that we are a playoff team. You know, last week against a bad, let's just be honest, a bad Eagles defense, the score was 3-0 at halftime. You know, losing DeMarco Murray takes the element out of their game, even though they don't run it as much, but you got to worry about him coming out the backfield, making a play in the open field. You know, DeMarcus Ware not playing, bad for them, good for us. You know, and like we all know, you apply pressure to Tony Romo, he does change. Now, that's going to be where Sue comes in, Fairley comes in, Ziggy comes in, and we got to get pressure on them. You know, they do have one of the an elite receiver himself, and Chris Houston gonna be checking him again. So I gotta pray for Chris. We all gotta say a little prayer for Chris Houston covering Dez Bryant. So that's gonna be a key matchup in this game, and I believe offensively we can score on them. Like we really and truly can score on them with the injuries that they have. Reggie Bush being effective, Calvin out there now that he's fully healthy now. Hopefully we can get some production from Fourier once again, and I really believe that we can come out here and win this game. You know, I don't want to be the same old Lions to whereas we have a tough loss and then we come out flat. I really do believe that we've turned the corner and now we have leverage and we have confidence and we are not that same team that we all grew up looking at 10 years ago, like, oh, yep, season's over now. No, I really believe that we're going to get it together and realize that, guys, we have something special here, and we can come out here and beat the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, see, Rush, I agree with you. I think we do have something special. I think we win this game, and I got to be honest, I think we win it big. Because instead of us having a hangover and hanging our head, I got to be honest with you guys, I think it's going to anger us, and we're going to use that to our advantage. And it's always funny, you know, we talk about Michigan and we talk about the Lions. I just think this is so funny that it seems in football, like I always say, you know, tradition, it messes up our judgment. It messes up people's judgment. It's people that have more confidence in Michigan than they do the Lions. And to be honest, me personally, I don't see why. I don't understand it at all. But I think the Lions win this one big. I got to be honest. But T-Will, let's talk about this division race. We actually had a pretty good day yesterday. I know Green Bay won. The Bears went down. The Vikings lost as well. They tried to put in Josh Freeman. They don't know what's going on there, so they're done. T-Wheel, look at the Bears. Cutler's going to be out for a while. They're done, in my opinion. That's just me. So now we got to worry about Green Bay if we want to win a division, because I don't think we should go for a wild card. I think we need to win this thing, T-Wheel. So now you look at the injuries. And you can just count the Vikings out. What do you think our chances of taking this puppy down, T-Will?
Well, Fonda, I think we do have a really good chance. And I think it's a two-horse race. You know, I think it's Detroit and I think it's Green Bay. So, I really think the game in Green Bay was key, and not having Calvin Johnson, that hurts. You know, so I think what we have to do, Fon, is we have to take care of business at home for sure, and we have to go steal a few on the road. You know, I mean, we have to. It's a couple teams, you know, you look at it in your division as, you know what, hey, we win the home ones, win our home games in our division, and we kind of, you know, maybe split on the road. We got to go pick a few more of those victories up. We have to make sure that we win this division, guys, because I don't want to lean on a wild card. You know, a wild card, I don't think, may be coming out of our division at all. So that has to be our only goal right now, is to win our division. We have to have that focus. And I think that we have the best chance in years, because the Packers are in first right now, but Green Bay doesn't have as many weapons as they had in the last few years. You know, so I think this is our best chance of winning a division in a long time.
Oh, yeah, that's it. That's not even a question. But see, Rush, I want to throw this thing to you. What do you think about this situation? Because like I said, the Bears, CFL coach, quarterback gone, Adrian Peterson and their situation, their quarterback didn't even know the plays last night. What a disaster that was. Their special teams was terrible. So they're done. You can forget about them. So I agree with T-Will 100%. It's a two-horse race. What do you think our chances of taking this puppy down?
Our chances are very good. You know, one thing, knock on wood, that we haven't had is a devastating injury. Like, Jay Cutler is out four to 6 weeks. Lance Briggs is out 4 to 6 weeks for the Bears. When we go there, we don't have to play him. Minnesota, that's a total, that's a sideshow right now. Who knows? But even in Green Bay, you know, missing Randall Cobb, it's going to hurt them a lot. You know, he adds another dimension to their game. And also missing JerMichael Finley probably for the rest, he may be done for his career. So in this sport, you do have to get lucky. But a combination with luck and a good team. And I believe we are a good team. Now, we do get Green Bay coming here. I believe we have to win that game. It's not a can we. We have to win that game. And we gotta prove to ourselves that, okay, we can win on the road. You know, you take care of business at home. I know you get 8 home games. We've lost 1. So we gotta take care of home, and we gotta sneak a couple on the road, like T. Will said.
T. Will, I got a quarterback question for you before we move on. Now, and this question came to mind when I found out that Matt Cassel was actually on the Minnesota Vikings roster. I didn't even know that until Christian Ponder went down. I got a coach's question for you. So in practice and in camps, obviously the quarterback does not get hit. How do you evaluate 2 quarterbacks that obviously, okay, if it's Tom Brady, you know he's starting. But if you had 2 quarterbacks, T-Will, were you for sure, you really don't know who you want to start. How do you evaluate 2 quarterbacks when they're not taking contact?
Well, at the professional football level, fine. The way they're being evaluated is just strictly off their decision making in their leadership, how they command the huddle, how they command the offense when they're on the field. But strictly off decision making, the contact part of it would never be involved. Okay. The one thing I've seen and that I did like that they were doing the East Lansing in spring ball this year, the quarterbacks up there, they went live all spring ball because no one had nailed the job down up at Michigan State and nobody had separated themselves. So they say they made a decision as a coaching staff and say, you know what, this spring our quarterbacks are going to be live in all drills, and they got a true evaluation, and I don't know if they got anywhere with it, but they got a true evaluation of what they had. So at the NFL level, though, it's strictly off decision making, and whenever they get contacted, it'll definitely be in a game situation.
Yeah, T. Will, because that question came to my mind when I saw Matt Cassel. I said he should have been starting anyway. Like, I would love to see practices where Christian Ponder beats out Matt Cassel. Like, I don't know how that worked out. So that's why that question came to mind. Like, okay, is there no contact? So Christian Ponder looked nice. So that's what
they moved up in the draft to pick Christian Ponder. So regardless, you know, Christian Ponder had a little bit more leeway with the organization.
Okay. Yeah, because that really just came to mind, because I don't see how he beats out anybody, to be honest. But all right, it's almost NBA time. So we're going to switch things up, and we're going to talk a couple NBA topics before we get off the air here. So T-Will, let's start with you. As we know, you know, last offseason when Ray Allen came down to South Beach, you know, KG basically was like, hey, I lost his number. You know, don't say nothing to me. You know, Boston played the Heat. You know, the old picture on ESPN when Ray Allen trying to give KG some dap, and he acts like he's not even there. Now these guys go to Brooklyn. And LeBron is like, they're a bunch of hypocrites. So, T. Will, what do you think about this situation?
The old situation where now the shoe was on the other foot. Okay, well, hey, I'm going to tell y'all right now, LeBron's been taking so much scrutiny in these papers, he has been waiting on somebody to do something. He's been waiting on the situation to happen where he could say, oh, straight up? And that's what happened. That's what happened, because KG and them made it a big deal. They took it personal in Boston, you know, and now, basically, you know, a year later, they're in the same boat. So if I was LeBron, I would be ripping those cats too. I'll be ripping them, you know, because you talk about loyalty, you talk about this, you talk about that, and now you move. And I personally understand it. It's a business. It's a business. I totally get the move. I understand it. I think it was the best thing for their careers. I think it was the best chance to go get them an NBA championship. I totally get it. But if I was LeBron, I tell you what, I would be giving those guys the business, because they sat back and they ripped Ray Allen. You would think that Ray Allen committed a crime, that he was supposed to do some time in jail the way they were giving him the business. So, I mean, yeah, and definitely he's on my team too if I'm LeBron. Oh, man, I'm ripping these guys. I could care less. Because especially if I'm the best player in the world, yeah, I'm ripping those guys, and I dare somebody say something to me.
Now, hey, see, Rush, and T is right, and I'm going to tell you why he's 100% right. LeBron James never makes statements like this, because he doesn't want any kind of cloud, unnecessary cloud over his head. So for him to say this, he's really upset about this, C. Rush. What you think about this?
He's absolutely right. You know that he... They've been poking fun at him for years. Now he want to say something about it. So, you know, he has every right to defend his teammate. You know, and KG couldn't even reply back. He told him to shut up and stay out of Boston business. You know, that ain't. I mean, that's how you know you got somebody, when they just tell you to shut up. They don't even have no response to you. So he did absolutely what he was supposed to do. And he made note of it. You know, y'all want to kill this guy for going somewhere and you all leaving the same way. And even whether it's via trade or whatever, they wanted to leave. They coach left. They wanted to leave. So they can't don't sugarcoat and say, hey, we just got traded. Nah, shut up.
Hey, T, now it's my job. I got to do it. So I got to play a little devil's advocate here, though, T. Will. Now, I know you said it's a business when Ray Allen left, and you know you got to put yourself in a situation to win and things like that. But when you battle against a team, T. Will, you battle, and you can't beat them, and you say, well, you know what? I'm going to go play for him. So do you think that KG has a point? Because I got to be honest with you, T. KG wouldn't have been mad if he would have went to any other team in the NBA. But because he went to South Beach, it was a little different. So I got to play devil's advocate here. What do you think about that situation, though, T?
Oh, man, I get it. If I was KG, I'd be ticked off, too. We've been in battle with these guys. You know, they beat us. They sent us home early. They kept us from getting a ring. They went and got a ring. And then you go join them. Oh, man, I'm heated. I'm ticked off, fine. I totally get where KG's coming from. But now that you're gone, understand this, KG. You didn't just get traded and you didn't know, my brother. You had to waive your no trade clause. So you and Paul Pierce and all those other guys who left, you guys had to waive your no trade clause. So they knew what they were getting into, and they chose to leave too. Now they didn't go to a rival that knocked them out the playoffs, but in a sense, they did go to a rival on the East Coast, you know, to the Brooklyn Nets. You know, so my thing is, I totally get it, and KG is I would have probably been the same way. But at the same time, when you pull the same move a year later, it's kind of like now your foot, you got to stick your own foot in your mouth now.
Hey, I love talking to NBA guys. It's so much more fun because these guys are hilarious. But see, Rush, I want to throw the same thing to you. These guys battle. Like I said, these guys battled the Heat. They battled the Heat. They couldn't do it. Then you look up, LeBron James is tweeting, hey, Shuttlesworth coming to town. So, see, Rush, does KG have a point by saying, you know, basically, you can go any other team? But don't join them guys.
Yeah, he got a point. Yeah, I mean, that's your rival. They beat you, and now, hey, I'm joining their gang now. That's like somebody, you know, taking your girlfriend and you hanging out with the dude. So, I mean, he has a very viable point as far as being mad. But, you know, when you do the same thing and you leave, you waive your no-trade clause in division, you got to go back to Boston twice now, you know. And just shut up, like KG told LeBron. That's what he needs to do, just shut up.
Hey, I agree. That was funny. KG came out saying, hey, man, shut up and work out your thing. See, Rush, you're right. When that's your comeback, clearly
you have lost.
Being a little bit hypocritical. But, T. Will, let's talk about that Brooklyn-Miami rivalry. These guys say it's not a rivalry. We just don't like them. But it doesn't matter where KG, Paul Pierce, and Jason Terry, the Jet, go. They're going to hate Miami. I got to be honest with you, T. They want to win a championship. Who doesn't? But I got to be honest. Hypothetically, if they just beat Miami in the playoffs, that's going to be their championship. That's how I think them guys want to go out. Just say, you know what? We did not allow Miami to three-peat. T. Will, how you feel about that?
Well, if anybody thinks this is not a rivalry right off the bat, they crazy. Because I'm gonna tell you just like this. This rivalry is picking up just where Boston left off with it last year. It's ... and the Brooklyn Nets are picking this rivalry up, guys. I mean, because what makes a rivalry? The players, not the name of the team. I could care less about the name of the team. All those players now are on Brooklyn. And you can best believe that the way KG plays with emotion and how emotional he is, that he'll get everybody else on board in that locker room, and they're going to hate Miami too. So this rivalry will pick up right where Boston left off. And you know what? I think it's going to make for great basketball this year.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm looking forward to, guys. I mean, realistically, yes, the sidebars that happen off the court, that's one thing. But it's going to make for some great basketball this year, and that's the most important thing in my eyes.
And you're right. It made for great preseason. They played last week. Paul Pierce acted like he was sliding with LeBron and just hip-checked him. So, if you're right, this is going to be good stuff. But see, Rush, I mean, I got to ask you the same thing, man. Because I personally think that obviously they're chasing championships. But I got to be honest, I think that they'll never say this in the media. But see, Rush, I really do believe this. I think that goal and that brotherhood in the locker room is to not allow Miami to make the finals. And I truly believe that.
That's what it is. They hate them. I mean, they really do hate them. And that's good. That's good for us because we're going to get some good basketball out of it. It's better when teams hate each other, in my opinion. When the Pistons hate the Bulls, when Dr. J was choking out Larry Bird, that was good basketball, you know? I mean, that's what really I believe. And KG, you better believe that every time they play, he's going to be talking to himself, punching himself in the face, doing all that stuff, whatever gets him hyped. And he's going to be doing it I ain't going to say it now, but I think they'll beat Miami. So, personally.
Yeah, we'll definitely get into that in our next one on our predictions. But, you know, this is – I got to be honest with you guys. I agree with you both, man. This is great for the league. You know, Mark Cuban, he says how he feels all the time, and he said, you know, all this hatred for Miami is great. This is great stuff for the NBA. But let's switch gears here. Let's talk about Doc Rivers. Obviously, guys, T-Will, we'll go to you. The Clippers share an arena with the Lakers. We all know it. The Lakers have obviously a lot of banners up, way more than the Clippers. But Doc Rivers say, man, in our games, we need to cover them banners up. This ain't no Laker game. So, T-Wheel, I mean, do you like this culture change? Do you think it's a little bit too much? Is Staples Arena? Do you, you know, you think the banner should be showing because that is the home of the Lakers? What you think, T-Wheel?
Well, this is what I think, Fine. For one, may have been one of the best ideas I've ever heard of, Fine, to cover those banners up. Because, you know what? It may be the home of the Lakers, but that night, the L.A. Clippers are paying rent for that thing, so it's theirs. And you know what, Doc Rivers? I applaud you. You know what? Because I want them to know, when they come into Staples Arena, when the Clippers are the home team, you know, that is your arena. And you know, if this may be something small, but this thing is huge in the locker room. And I know you guys know it. You know, it's huge in the locker room. It's huge in the mindset of a team. It's huge in changing that culture. You know, because yes, the Clippers had talent and they won some games and this, that, and the other, Fine. But realistically, did they really believe that they could win? You know, the big game, the game when it got close. And to me, something this small may be huge for a team and an organization and getting over that hump. And yes, I say it'll help Doc Rivers help his team get over the hump, and it'll help him to implement the things that he's bringing in to set this new culture. And yes, I'm with Doc Rivers. I'm a huge fan of it, and I love it. I love stuff like this, guys. I love when people come in and they switch it up like this. Man, I love that, Doc Rivers.
T. Will, I could not agree with you more on this. I mean, this is a bold move, but he's right. Who wants to see that? And plus, let's not forget, Lakers versus Celtics. Let's not forget, like, the one of the best rivalries of all time in the NBA. It was like either the Celtics won or the Lakers won. That's why they changed the format to 2-3-2, because those teams always played each other. So they wanted that cross-country flight. So I got to be honest with you. It's easy for him to hate the Lakers. He's worked for Boston. It's real easy. So it was very easy for him to transition into that role. Great, bold move. I agree 100%, T-Will. And that's why players really love this guy, because he steps out here and he does bold things that Vinny Del Negro would have obviously never done. See, Rush, yeah. I mean, you like this move or what?
I love it. I love it. For one, no matter what, when it's a Clippers game, it's the Clippers arena. There's no Clippers banners up, so cover those banners up, in my opinion. Like you said, Doc Rivers hates the Lakers, too. He's that same mold of KG and Paul. He hates the Lakers, too, so he don't want to see that. It probably burns him that they share an arena with him. So, you know what? That's a good thing. It's a good culture change. You know, they needed that toughness that Doc Rivers installed in those Boston guys. You know, that's... Because for so long, you know, it's been cute, the lobs and all that stuff. It was cute. Now it's time to win. So he's bringing that winning mentality because he's been there. He's done that. And I just love the fact that he's saying, hey, guys, this is our building. You know, that it's making a statement. We're let's be the best team in L.A. year in and year out. Now, can they do it? That's a different story. I believe they have the tools to do it. But I like the start that he's getting.
Yeah. See, Rush, I mean – I got to be honest with you. I think he's going to be great for those guys. And I know in the NBA, and we talk about this all the time, we talk about, hey, you know, the players on the roster are ultimately going to dictate, you know, if a team wins a championship or not. But I got to be honest with you. I feel a little bit different about the Clippers. I think he's going to make this team a championship-level team. I look at Doc Rivers and I look at their team. It's the same thing when I took a look at Andy Reid's team last year at Kansas City, the team that he took over. They had about 6 Pro Bowls on their team. They won 2 games. They were missing a coach and a quarterback, in my opinion. You look at the Clippers. I mean, I think they were missing a coach. And you look at the West, you know, there's not that many good teams. You know, I got to, in my opinion, I think they're my favorite. C-Rush, what do you think about the Clippers and Doc Rivers making them a championship coach? Or is he really going to make a difference, in your opinion?
I believe that they're going to be in the NBA Finals this year because he brings that toughness, he brings that mentality, and he's I believe that he commands the respect that Doc Rivers wasn't getting. You know, it was no way in the world that they were supposed to lose to the Memphis Grizzlies last year in the playoffs.
You mean Benny Del Negro?
Yes, yeah. It was no way in the world they were supposed to lose to the Memphis Grizzlies at all. So he commands the locker room. He's well respected around the league from his playing days. You know, and I believe that, you know, word of mouth, it's a reason that they were trying to trade a player and a coach. You never heard of a coach getting traded before. They were trying to do whatever it took to get him there. So, you know what, I believe it's the best thing for LA, and it makes them a viable NBA final contender.
Yeah, T-Will, I got to throw the same question to you because we know we love having these conversations in the NBA, who's going to do this, who's going to do that, and ultimately we all feel like, hey, you know, that best team is going to win in the 7-game series, T-Will. But when I look at the Clippers, T-Will, I see, hey, they're missing a coach. They're missing Doc Rivers. That's what I saw in this team this year, T-Will. What do you think?
I think they were missing the same thing. And it's not just the coach per se when we talk about X's and O's and schemes, someone to implement that. That's not it. It's someone and what they bring. And Doc Rivers, what he's done, what he has accomplished in the NBA, you know, in Boston, you know, as a head coach, you know, juggling those egos and kind of making sure everything is smooth and managing minutes and coaching older players. I think the way he does it and the relationships that he has with his players, those guys are bought in. They are bought in and they'll run through a brick wall for him. And it's tough to do when you're talking about players that's in their 30s, you know, mid to upper 30s. So it's easier to do when you have a kid that's 8 years old, doesn't have a clue about the game, and you're coaching him. He's going to do exactly what you're telling him. But when you're doing it at a level, professional athletes, you know, I think you're special. And Doc Rivers is special when it comes to coaching, you know. So he's one of the best ones out there, guys. And yes, the head coach will make a difference, and the guys that he puts around this team, his assistants, they were just missing the coach. It was the Clippers were fun to watch, but I think we all knew that they really wasn't going to beat anybody when it really came down to it. Now you have to take the Clippers serious.
Yeah, T-Will, you're killing it today. I mean, I think you're dropping some really good knowledge, maybe because I agree with you. Maybe that's why I feel that way. But T-Will, you're right. I mean, because Doc Rivers, what he brings is authority. I mean, we could talk about all day what he brings in his resume, but T-Will, he brings authority. That's what he brings. Because you know what? If he say, hey, you need to get better effort on defense and you don't do it, oh, he'll send a message. And Vinny Del Negro obviously can't do that. You know, they'll go to the owner and say, hey, fire this guy. He set me because he said I wasn't playing defense. He brings authority. And that's what I think they're missing. They got the best point guard, in my opinion, the best floor general, in my opinion, in the NBA. And they're going to be good this year. I really do believe that. But we're going to get ready to close it up. C. Rush, have a good one, dog.
Yeah, I had a good one. Nothing like doing a show right on 7 Mile, man.
I know that's right, man. T-Will, man, you have a good one. How that weather doing down there, man? I know it's getting close to November, T-Will. How's it, you know, you drinking your hot chocolate already or what?
Not yet, fine. But, yeah, today it was feeling like it was about December 26th outside today. It was kind of freezing out there on that field. But the show was good today. C-Rush, you know, did your thing fine. Great job, man. We'll be back with you guys on Saturday. And it's nothing like taking a show, man, from sitting in these Nike cleats, you know, to the Internet.
I know that's right, T-Will. And T, you right. We got to get one in on Saturday. College basketball coming up. NBA coming up. Football never gets old. So we got a lot of stuff, a lot of topics to cover. We hope you guys enjoyed listening. Hit us up, WilsonRushPodcast@gmail.com. Twitter has been down. We will be back up tweeting about some football games and some NBA things, so we'll get that back going. So thanks for listening. We always represent 7 Mile. Hey, if you're having a problem, change that mindset, change your address. We out.
DJ Clips, Rev City, let's go. They play I'm falling like a Wilson Rush podcast. They play I'm falling like a first rush. With your host, Wilson Rush. They play I'm falling like a first rush.